Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministry, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Today is very significant. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It is more significant, more important than Christmas. Though I know you like Christmas more than Easter, but Easter is more powerful than Christmas because that is where our salvation truly came. And that is where the change. How many want to change? You don't like yourself sometimes. It cannot be always. You must like yourself sometimes. Or sometimes you can see that you're not correct. How many have seen that? Sometimes you can see yourself that there are some things inside you if they're not dealt with. And as Reverend William said, some of you like sadness. You don't like smiling. You like to squeeze your face and then you are always remembering your troubles. You know, tell me about, we all have bills. Yeah. And as you have squeezed your face, maybe you don't have the biggest bill. Your bill is reasonable. It's affordable. But you have squeezed your face more than all of us. It's not like that. Amen. Tell somebody, thank God you are here. And today is going to be a great day. And all the days following today will be good days. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I like your shout these days. It's working. Yeah. Amen. First, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Today, Resurrection Sunday. I believe God has the word for us. Verse 25, let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for every occasion, especially today that we gather here to meet in your presence. Thank you that today you have a word for us for tomorrow and all the days to come, that we might leave here strengthened and encouraged. And Lord, above all, bless us. Let the days that we have be good days. Let these days work for our benefits. And let us be blessed along with many others. Thank you so, so, so very much. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Colossians 1:25. This is Paul speaking to the church in Colossians. Whereof I am made a minister or a preacher or a shepherd or a pastor according to the dispensation of God, according to the plan of God and the purposes of God. This is what God wanted, which is given to me for you. You know, as you sit here this morning, God is working out a plan for you. Yeah, and it involves somebody else, other people, and he's preparing them for an assignment to you. Amen. And so he says that the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, that what God has said will come to pass. And it will come to pass.
Amen.
Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. Is there somebody here who When you were in school, you were taught something you didn't understand. And when you finished school, one day you read and you understood it. After school. Yeah. It happened to me once. Physics. Quantum mechanics. I didn't understand, but I passed the exam, but I didn't understand it. And one day after school, I was reading my old physics book. Then I said, it's quite simple. Why didn't I understand it? So that mystery at that time has been revealed to me and it became clear. So what Paul is, are you listening? What Paul is saying that something that once was very complicated, it didn't make sense at all. I mean, it was out of this world. We just sat there blank, just looking at the blackboard, looking at the teacher, the lecturer, just sitting there, and it's like, what on earth is he talking about? And it doesn't make any... Are you listening? It doesn't make any sense at all. That thing, that mystery, which has been hidden, is now made clear. Manifest means made open. Revealed to us, his saints. And what is that mystery? To whom God would make known what is their riches. How many are tired of being poor? They're tired of counting your money. You know, I watched a YouTube clip. I don't know whether it's real. Whether it's staged, I don't think it was staged. Someone was filming for a car show. A man walked in. Then he asked, how much is this car? They said, 2 million. Then how much is that one? 1.5. How much is that one? 700,000. I'll take all the three. Cars. Oh, dollars. No CDs. No. So one was a Rolls Royce, one was some sports car. He said, how much is this one? 2 million. That one is 1.5. That one 700,000. Said, okay, I'll take all the three. You stop counting your money one day. Oh, yes. Yes. What? No, I won't go there. To whom God has made known what is the riches. You will be able to buy. Okay, let me ask a question. How many here are unreasonable? You're not correct in your head. Your head is not working well. You are unreasonable. Oh. Nobody should raise their hand. Why are you unreasonable? Nobody should raise their hand. Put your hand down. We are all reasonable. It's a reasonable service church. How can you say you are not reasonable? We are reasonable. Amen. I don't think there's anybody here. I hope not. But I don't think there's anybody here. If God gave you plenty of money, you become a fool. I don't think so. I mean, if God gave you money, then you should go and buy 4 cars in where you can't drive to. Then you have parked them in their house. No. So, there is a glory lined up for us. Amen. And that is what God is trying to tell us this morning. To us, to whom we are the whom. To us, God is making known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, that this mystery that hasn't been understood in times past, which is actually something that makes you very wealthy and makes you very substantial and takes away all the poverty that is in your life. Making known that mystery, and that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, it's a mystery, you know, because at this time, there were people who had seen Jesus walking. There were people alive at this time who knew, had seen Jesus, were aware of his earthly ministry. And they had seen the human being, the Son of God. Well, to them, the human being Jesus who walked the earth. But then he died. He died, and then he was taken up into heaven. And for some people, maybe that was the end of the story. But what Paul is saying, that is not the end. Amen. That is not the end. And that there is, that his going is rather the beginning of a greater mystery. Hallelujah. And the result of that mystery is that you will do well. You will do well. This morning, I just want to say two things to us. You know, I've told you right now, my preaching is very short. Yeah, 5 minutes. Today is 10 minutes. 5 minutes for each point. You know, and this is the mystery that the man Jesus, who was walking on this earth not too long ago, is now in you. Is now in you. And you see, I don't think there are many of us here who think Jesus is in me. I don't think so. I think there's just one or two asking about, are you the one? There are just one or two of us, or maybe three or four of us, who are mindful of the fact that Jesus is in you. Yeah. But the rest just somehow know that we are Christians and we have to go to church. And when you go to church, they'll say, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chase girls, don't fornicate, and then don't lie, don't steal, what again? Don't fight, don't be jealous, don't insult grown-ups. As for children, you can solve them. Don't insult grown-ups. What again? What is a Christian supposed to do? Don't kill. No, but who won't kill? So that one, who won't kill already? That was a crime. Police will catch us. What else are we supposed to do as Christians? No, that was it. No. It's not in the Bible. It's not there. It's not there. It's a good thing to do, but it's not. It's a good thing to do, but it's not. But you see, no, listen. So, is do your homework also in the Bible? It's not there. But it's like this one, don't break your heart. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Do your homework and do it well. It's a good thing to do. But it's not in the Bible. I'm sure it's in the Bible. Look for it. I'm sure it's in the Bible. Whatever I do, do it with all your might, including your homework. Add unto the Lord, including your homework. So, Jesus walked this earth, and we now have become Christians. But many of us have not thought it through, what it means. What it means that you are a Christian. And what we have, are you listening? What we have tried to do, most of us, is to obey the rules and the regulations that we have been given. And how many will confess that those rules and regulations he had is very hard? And sometimes two things happen. One, sometimes you make a mistake and you break one or two because it's hard. True or not true? True. And then number two, sometimes you break some because you like to break it. That one too is there. True or not true? That second true is not very deep. True or not true? How many have broken something you knew it was wrong, but you did it? You knew, as I'm doing it, I know it's wrong, but I did it. And then when you finish it, I'm sorry, God, but you're not sorry. I'll do it again. I know I'll do it again. Yes, I know I'll do it again. So listen. Listen carefully. This is it. That we are no longer here trying to do and keep rules or regulations. But now Christ is in us. Amen. Christ now lives in you. You know, let me explain. First Corinthians. You see, Jesus once had a physical body. He once had a physical body. Then he died. When he died, he rose again. Amen. When he rose at the tomb, when Mary was there, Mary came there and she was crying. Then she met a man, she thought was the gardener. Then she asked him, Are you the gardener? Have you taken Jesus' body? If you have, tell me where it is. Because I will go and bring it, I will carry it back. You know, women, they can carry men. Hey, they can carry baby on their back, baby in the stomach, load on their back and load on their head. How do you go to a man? They can carry. So he said, I'll go and carry and bring him back. And then Jesus said, Mary. Then she heard his voice. Then she said, Rabboni, teacher. Then she was going to hold him. John 20, verse 17. She was going to hold him. I mean, when you see somebody you have missed, not only beloveds. Why are you saying okay? Yeah, I'm waiting for you, Adika. Yeah. Somebody you have missed for a long time, then you see the person, what's the natural reaction? To hug the person and to hold him tight. Say, oh, I've missed you, I won't let you go again. But Jesus said, no, don't touch me. This is Jesus straight from the grave, and this is where they have missed him most because they thought they had lost him. They thought he was gone and he was dead. I mean, actually, death is the end of the... When somebody dies, there is over. It's over. You have now said goodbye. Then the final goodbye, I mean, when they die, there are goodbyes. The goodbye at the hospital, then the goodbye at the funeral. Then the final goodbyes at the cemetery. When you put the man in the ground, then you cover him, then you go away. You cry the last cry. Then you go home and hope to become better. But sometimes it's so hard that you come back again to cry again. But when she came, the thing was open. She said, they've come to take the body away. So she was sure it was over. Then she saw him. She saw Jesus. After today, it was today, 2,000 years ago. Then she said, it's you. What a fantastic miracle. I mean, she was so happy, she was going to grab him. And Jesus said, hey, you think he's very wicked, or he's not loving, or he's not caring. Because if you imagine, come and hug me. You are coming to hug me. Have you not missed me? You have missed me. You are coming to hug me. I said, no, don't touch me. How many are disappointed? You're laughing too much. Go sit down. You're laughing too much. I want somebody who's not laughing. Who's not laughing? He's laughing. You are coming to hug the person. I mean, you have opened your hands wide. Okay, Henry, let's try. I said, no, don't touch me. How will you feel? You see, I beg you, let me just to show you I've missed you. He said, no, 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 no.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. And it's like, no,
okay.
And it's like, has he changed?
Since he died and rose again, has he become? But he said, no. There's a reason. There's a reason. It is that I have not yet ascended. It means there's some transition going on. There's a change going on. I had a physical body that died. You all saw it. It was bleeding. It was beaten. It was not good at all. And that body died. And then suddenly they are seeing him again. And Jesus said, no. Don't touch me, because there is a reason. I have not yet ascended to my Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. I gave you the message that I received. I told you the most important truths, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. He died for our sins. Verse 4. That he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say. So Jesus died. True. And he was buried. Correct. And he was raised back to life on the third day. On today, 2,000 years ago. Verse 35. Someone may ask, how are the dead raised? Dead? Because if you ask the doctors, when you die, the body begins to decompose. And then they say that the gases, things begin to go bad. Then after a while, when a mouse dies in your house, there's a smell. You'll find a dead mouse. You trace and find it because the smell is bad. That's what happens when a person dies. There's a smell. And so the person is asking, how, once you die and the body begins to decompose, what happens? And you've come back to life again. What kind of body will they have? What kind of body do they have? And then, Paul too, he's somewhere. Look at verse 36. These are stupid questions. He's like, you are not correct. How are you thinking? These are stupid questions you are asking. How can their body rise? He's asking, what is wrong with you? When you plant something in the ground, it must die. Before it can live again. Or it's not, are you wise? When you plant something in the ground, it must die before it will live again. So it's like, what question are you asking? So the thing has died. The body has died and been now planted in the ground. Okay? Verse 38. But God gives it the body he has planned for it. And he gives each kind of seed its own body. So when you plant mango in the ground, it will die, rot, grow. And then it will have a mango body. Then when you plant a corn or wheat or whatever in the ground, it will rise up and have its own body. So he's asking you, what is wrong with you? If they say that the dead man has been planted in the ground and he rises up, then of course, he will have his own body. I ask him, please tap your neighbor's head. Is the coconut working? Oh, tap the neighbor's head. Is it working? That's why Paul was like, he was a bit like, he has explained, and is now tired. What kind of question is this? What kind of body will he have? Of course, it will be different from the body he had before. Of course. Amen. So look at verse 40. Also, there are what? Heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. Amen. So Paul is saying that, look, don't, you tap your neighbor. He said, your sleepiness and your slowness. That boy said, my brain, they paid me. My brain pain. That brain pain is gone. How can't you understand this thing about Jesus having a new body? Why is it so difficult for you to understand? I mean, why are we struggling to explain to you that Jesus died and rose again? And since he rose again, things are different. Why can't you understand it? Why? At least you know he was alive. And you know he died because they were all there. And you know he was buried because Caesar or Herod came to bury him. And now when we come, the body is not there. So now he has risen. And so now we know he has risen. That's why we're all wearing white today. He has risen. So he's now making it one last point. Are you listening? Yeah. One last point for all the argument that you must not expect the same physical body that he had before to still have. So the Jesus who rose now from the grave 2,000 years ago is now walking around with a new body. Amen. And that new body is a heavenly body. And he says, the beauty, he's not trying to, you know, Paul said that some things there we have seen, but we can't explain it. He said, the beauty of the heavenly body is of one kind. That means it's different from the beauty. When you say the beauty, the glory, the every nice thing of the heavenly body is different from the physical body. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus died and he rose again with a new body that is different from the old body. And if you remember, he appeared in a room. They were all in a room. Then he just appeared. Oh, you're forgotten that one too. Yeah, that body now. But you see, it was still a body. Because he told Thomas, check the holes. So he said, oh, now he was a ghost. No. He wasn't a ghost. And then you find that it's me. But he didn't enter by the door. So this morning, listen carefully. Jesus now has a different body or a different existence. Amen. What is the difference? Yeah, he says, check 25. Check the nail prints, 25. And here, check. And you see that it's me. You know. Now listen. This is Jesus. This is before he went. John 14. Jesus said, and there are many rooms in my Father's house. Jesus, can Jesus lie? Can he lie? I would not tell you this if it were not true. Huh? So now look at this is why we are here. He said what? I am going there to do what? To prepare a place for you. Oh, I thought you clapped for that one. He's going where? To his Father's mansion. To his Father's house. That's heaven. That's heaven. Amen? Now look at verse 3. But after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that you can be where I am. Amen. So that is the assurance of heaven. Amen. Tell somebody your life on earth, it doesn't matter too much. I told you about my Kintampo experience. You're only passing through. It doesn't matter too much. Their life is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
But look at verse 17. The helper is the spirit of truth. The people of this world cannot accept him because they don't know him. Don't see or know him. But you know him. This is the key.
He lives with you and he will be in you. Amen. Amen. He'll be where? He'll be where? In you. He will be in you, the Spirit that he will send. It will be in you. And he said, when I go, I will come back and I'll be with you. Verse 18. I will not leave you all alone like orphans. I will come back to you. Amen.
Amen.
In a very short time, the people in this world will not see me anymore. But you will see me and you will live because I live. Amen. Verse 28. You heard me say to you, I am leaving, but I will come back. If you love me, you'll be happy that I am going back to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. Amen. So a major point I want us to all grasp this morning is that now Christ is in you. Hallelujah. Christ is in you, is inside you. Amen. Many, you see, that is the mystery of this, our faith. Because those who try to be good, they try to obey, they try to do the right thing, it won't be long, they will give up. It will not be, look, trying to be good. It doesn't work at all. Trying to be good. How many can say, I'm trying to think well? I'm trying to stop thinking about bad things. Who say, you can't. How many have been there and some bad thoughts entered your head by themselves? They just came by themselves. As you try to sack them, they just come back even more. I won't go into fornication. I won't go there at all. I won't go there. There are many other things that you are trying to stop, but you can't stop. Watching films, different things. They're trying to stop. Listen carefully to me this morning. Just understand what I'm saying. It is almost impossible to be good. It's almost impossible because the badness is too near your fingertips. The insults is too near your here. Any small it's just coming. Or it's not true. It's just coming. When somebody hits you, it's coming by itself. You don't even think. You have to, when they say let's pray, you have to just be quiet and think. What am I going to say? Let's pray. Okay, dear Jesus, thank you for life, thank you for heaven, thank you for to pray there, you have to think. But you saw there, it's coming easily. That's how we are. Amen. That's why Jesus didn't come with rules and regulations. He said, now, dear, I am coming to be inside you. I'm coming to inside you, and now I will control you from within. I will work my work in you from inside. Amen. It means that if really you are born again, look at your neighbor and say, this one is personal. If really you are born again, Christ is in you. Amen. If really you are born again, Christ is in you. If he's in you, how many have been drunk before? Not you drink, you are drunk. Akeshi, Wabu. You are drunk. You raise your hand. Okay. You mind me. When you are not drunk, you are walking straight because your brain is controlling your legs and your legs are obeying your brain. True or not true? And then you are walking straight. But when you have drunk something, hey, steady, hey. Now you are walking. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You understand what I'm saying? You are here. Yes. Now, so now your mind says, let go. But a spirit is controlling you. A spirit that is in a bottle. So now,
hey.
Yeah. And what your brain is saying, the body is not obeying. Because I don't know whether I understand what I'm saying this morning. Another spirit that is inside you is now controlling you. And then you are now, hey. That's why there's no joke, but you are laughing. Because a spirit inside you is just happy at nothing. I don't know whether you are here this morning. Okay, not you. How many have seen somebody drunk? Okay, not you. Yeah, nice girl like you. Oh, not you. But you have seen somebody drunk. How was he walking? What's that? If you're wrong. Hey, you were watching you. Those of you watching TV now are confessing it. Yeah. So, listen. Mark chapter 5. There was the madman of Gadara. Let's go there. Mark chapter 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, there met him a man of the out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Who, one, had his dwelling. Listen carefully, the man had an unclean spirit. One, he had his dwelling in the tomb. He lived at a certain place. Why? Because of the spirit inside him. And then two, he couldn't be controlled. He did what he had to do. Why? Because of the spirit inside him. And he was bound with fetters and chains, and he plucked them asunder, and no man could tame him. And verse 5, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So when the spirit, are you listening? When the spirit entered him, he changed his address, changed his behavior, and changed his lifestyle. So now, when the spirit of Jesus enters you, what will happen? You will change your address, change your behavior, and change your lifestyle. Yes. You'll not be the same again. I said, you'll not be the same again. Christ in you is what? A changed life. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody I'm different. No, so ask him, are you born again? Please, are you born again? What did he say? He said no or yes. So I said, okay, I don't care what you say. If you have not changed, then you're born again. It's not proper. Amen. If you are, no, please hold the neighbor by the dress and tell him you are here this morning and you are still the same as you were before everything. Then you're born again is not proper. Then, look, you are here. And still, every day your parents are complaining. Always they are calling. Hey, Amma, Kofi. Hey, why? Why? Are you born again? If Christ is in you, there will be a change. And then there will be a change. Because now, he's not saying do it. He is inside you, doing himself through your hands. Is working through you. And three things. Look, tell your neighbor, if you are born again, you see, the madman, he changed his address from the city to the tombs and the mountains. If you are born again, it should not be difficult for you to come to church at the house of God. It should. Tell the Bible, please hold the best dress. It should not be difficult for you to come to church. No, nobody must chase you. Otherwise, your madness is not complete. Your madness is not complete. If you are fully mad, I will not be struggling to know you are mad. It will be clear who see you walking on the street
naked or very dirty with your dead clothes, behaving as it is, that's how you will be. Amen. So this morning, Christ, if you are born again, Christ in you. Amen. If you are born again, Christ is in you. It's Christ. And if Christ is in you, we will see the manifest. It's like children when they are boosted, they change. They behave differently. If Christ is in you, if a spirit is in you, it will show itself in a certain way. How you walk, how you talk, and where you go frequently. Hallelujah. Christ is in you. Amen. Christ is in us. Hallelujah. But then Paul says, because Christ is in you, suddenly, what wasn't there before has now come. You have a hope of glory. Amen. Why? You see, that's the mistake. Many people look around and say, I'll be great. I will do this. I will do this. Look, many have talked by heart like that and they didn't go anywhere. The only reason why you may do well in this life is because Christ is in you. Yeah, that's the only reason. That, look, Paul said, don't ask stupid questions. Paul said, can you not see that the majority of peoples are very, very poor and very, very down? Please, ask him about, hold on, neighbor's ear. At this one, you have to hold the ear. Ask him, can you not see that the majority of people in this world are very, very poor, very, very down? Oh, don't remove the ear. Don't remove the ear. Only 2 ears, you have got to remove one. What are we going to do now? No. Listen carefully. All of us, every one of us, as we sit here, you have a dream in your head that I will do well in life. Everybody, not even a madman is dreaming of driving a car and going to America. Everybody has a dream that I will do well. I will drive a car. I will buy a house. I will now go and buy nice dress. I will go and get a nice phone. The phone is saluted. You throw it away and buy a proper phone. The phone is a rubber band holding it. No longer again. The phone that when you press. And you press. Then at one click, aha, it has now clicked. It's now working. That phone, you throw it away and buy iPhone 21 or iPhone 22. Yeah, you know why we get there? Then you will say, today I'm working, but one day I'll be driving my car. And then you are sitting here, you have some dream, I'll drive a Range Rover. How many will drive a Range Rover? How many want a black Mercedes Benz? How many want a silver BMW? How many want a black Land Cruiser? Yes, all the hands are going up. Dreamers! Yeah, it's God. Yeah, tell him, but those who raise their hand, tell him you are a dreamer. People have dreamt. Look, how many will build their own house? One day, I'll go to the landlord and I'll say, Mr. Landlord, collect your key. I don't like it yet. You say, what is this? I'm going to my house. How many are waiting for that day? That day, you tell them, give me my key. Mr. Landlord, my brother, I'll be here for how many years? And you'll come to my house. Give me salt. Give me sugar. Give me oil. Rent increase. Mr. Landlord, collect your key. My brother, I'm going. They say, oh, take your time. No. I am leaving. Say, Henry, you don't come back. I won't come back. Where? I'm going to my house. Ah. You are clapping. Most Ghanaians don't have house. Most Ghanaians don't have house, don't have car, don't have savings, don't have security. Most people, as they become pensioners, hunger and poverty is waiting them. And you are sitting here saying, when I grow, I'll get money. Papa never said, when you grow, you get money. Oh, stop the head. Your head is not working well. Because, no, listen, in all likelihood, most people will become poor. Like law of averages. The law of averages, that looking at, and don't be deceived at all. So I'll be a doctor, so I'll be, doctor, no, please, you know, please help me. Our doctor is rich. Not at all. I once gathered about 13 doctors. 13 doctors in my former church. And I was doing fundraising. I was doing, were you there for that page? You're on that page. I was doing fundraising. I asked them, doctors, give me $100. Doctors, 13 doctors, only three.
One, where you are? Doctor. At that time, she didn't mind me.
Only three gave me $100. And then when I left them and I came to the grassroots, I got more money. Don't say that when I become a doctor, a graduate, a lawyer or something, I'll get money. No. It is the greatest deception. Hey! Tell them, wake up there. Because you are a doctor, you have money. Tell them, your head is not, and you, for us, these stupid questions you are thinking. The key to your doing well is Christ in you. Amen. That is the mystery. That is the mystery. That Christ in you, then, listen, because Christ is in, go to First Colossians 1:27. Because Christ is in you, listen carefully. Because Christ is in you, for that reason, it will be well with you.
Amen.
I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Because Christ is in you, that is the reason why you will do well.
Amen.
Not because of any work, not because of any school, or because of... One man said, I'll marry a rich man, then I'll get money. No, please. Who said that? I will marry a rich man, then I'll get money. Look, a certain woman married a rich man. The man had three cars, at least three that we saw. Three cars. Regularly, you know, regularly, they saw the woman walking on the street with rubber bag. She has gone shopping to the market, and she's holding a rubber bag, two rubber bags, one on each hand, walking while the cars are parked in the house. You say, please find a woman and pop her head. You say what? You marry a rich man and be okay. You marry a rich man and be okay. Just announce loudly. Foolish. No. Some parents have money and the children don't talk so. True or not true? Yeah. This morning, listen carefully. This morning, and you see, it is a hope, an expectation, and looking forward. One of the songs say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes. It is a looking forward that because I am born again. Are you listening carefully? Not because of school. That's why some very rich men in this world, they didn't go to school much. It's not school. We can begin to understand. It's not school. It's not hard work. Because the hardest workers, they are farmers. Walanta workers. Hey, one day I went to shake a man's hand. Look, this man was a yam farmer. He was farming yam in the north. I went to shake his hand. When I shook his hand, the first thing was cement paper. His hand was hard. And it was like this. He He couldn't be straight again. It's like this. He has held the hole. Now the hand can't become straight. So it's like this. It's like a claw. Are you saying he hasn't worked hard? He has worked hard. He has been farming the hot sun. But he has nothing. No. It's not hard work. This morning, I want you to understand. Your future will be bright. From today, you have a reason to. When you say now, when you now who are sitting here, you tell me, Pastor, I will build my own house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't say amen well.
Yeah. When you say, Pastor, I will drive my own car. Yeah. Then, as I'm here in this room, I will say, be it unto you according to your confession. Yeah. So, as not outside there, I will say, you are dreaming. But here, now, I will tell you that if everybody here tells me that I will build my own house and I will drive my own car and one day I'll be flying in and out. When they see me, how? We have a meeting on Thursday. Oh, sorry, I can't come on Thursday. Why? Wednesday, I'm traveling. Are you going to Sudani? No. Are you going to Kindampo? No. Are you going to your hometown? Where's your hometown? I'm on a cloak. Are you going to your hometown? No. Hey. Okay. I know. You're going to Accra. Via Accra. Via Accra. Where are you going? I'm going to Belgium. I'm going to Belgium. If I say Canada, somebody will jump up. So I will say Canada. But I'm going to America. Yes. You travel. Because Christ is in you now, there is a hope. I said there is a hope. You now have a legal right to have a hope that it will be well with me. Amen. You have a hope. It will be well with me. God will turn my life around. Hallelujah. My life will be okay. I will have a good life. How? By the hope of God. Amen. It shall be well with you. It shall be well.
What is Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. This is God. This is why when he's in you, this is the heart working in you. This is the heart working in you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you your expected end. This morning, whatever you are expecting, whatever good thoughts you have for yourself, they will come to pass.
Amen.
I said they will come to pass.
Amen.
If you are here this morning and you are thinking, I want to travel, I want to fly, I want to drive, whatever good thoughts you have for yourself, they will come to pass.
Yeah.
I remember one of my church members. She used to say that I will have children. I will have children. Hey, today she has children. Whatever expect, you see, what you expect, what you are dreaming for yourself, by the grace of God, you will get it.
Amen.
I said, by the grace of God, you will get it.
Amen.
Not by any hard work, but by the grace of God. Proverbs 23, and verse 18. And he said, look, you have an expectation. Oh, one day, that expectation, it will come to an end, and you see it. It shall not be cut off. It will not fail. You will not be disappointed. I have followed God for many, many years. He has not disappointed me at all. Look, how many years have I followed Christ? 1982. I don't know how many years it is. Who can calculate? 23. Yeah. I have followed him for all these years. I can tell you that he has given me even more than my expectation. He has my, when they say my cup runs over, when they say surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all your days. It's not that it's just a nice poem in the Bible. It is somebody's confession about what God has done for him. Hallelujah. Amen. And today Easter, marking, listen carefully, today Easter marking the risen Christ with a new body, now living in you. Not in, Mr. Man, please pay attention. The new Christ, now living in you, not giving you instructions, not giving you guidance and telling you how to do things, but living in you. By that man living in you, he will now work the same way madness will make you go to poverty and sit down at the baller and eat rubbish. In the same way, that spirit of Christ in you will lead you to prosperity. In the same way, that spirit of Christ in you, it will guide you by steps, different steps. One step by one step, it will guide you to a place where one day you say, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. One day you will say, you know, it says, not today. Today is the beginning. No, you know, there are many people who are mad around us. But their madness has not progressed. It's still in the early days. It's now becoming serious. By that madness, they are still looking okay. But let the madness increase. Then you see that they are not bad. They've not combed their hair. They are sitting outside. They are walking around. And as they are walking down, then it's like, it's coming. It is now becoming. But right now, we are sitting by him. We ask him, how are you? I saw President Trump last week. He was fine. I mean, he's talking to you. Okay. Oh, yeah. Then, you know that thing is about me. It's coming. The madness is coming. But it doesn't come fully. Because he's still wearing dress. And still wearing shoe. And he's still combing his hair. But as the thing becomes more and more, then now he'll be walking down. Then he's going to sit at the baller and then looking up. Then it is now the man has full control. It's the same way with Christ in you. It begins small. At the beginning, there's not much change. At the beginning, you are still looking normal. At the beginning, you are like any other person. We all have Christ in us, but it doesn't take full control. But there's an end. At that end, when that time comes, where it has progressed, all your dreams, all that you were hoping for, you will come and tell me that God has been good to me. You will come and say that what I hope for, I have seen it. God has given me more than I can carry. Hallelujah. May you be turned from today. This Easter Sunday, may Jesus take full residence in his holy spiritual body inside you. May you no longer be obedient to rules and regulations, but may you be transformed from the inside. When you are alone, even at that time, you are mindful of Jesus. When nobody has said anything, even at that time, you are praying to God by yourself. May Jesus now be real inside you. May he cause there to be a transformation. Not that I obey, but now I am. I am. And by myself, I do what I do.
May you be transformed today from being a normal churchgoer, a normal person trying to keep rules and regulations. And may you become a person whom Jesus lives inside him, whom Jesus is deep in your heart, and you are fully, fully, fully connected to him, and you love him.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.